Amen. Good to be with you again this morning. Good to see you and good to hear the praises. We sang some heaven songs today because that's where we're going. Hopefully, eventually for all of you. I know I'm going. You say, how can you know that? Well, because Jesus said so. So that's the way that's going to work. But we're going there in our message regardless. So that's what we want to do. We've been in the Nothing Like It series, in case you've kind of not been with us enough or whatever, or those online joining us. Been in a series of people, places, things, ideas from the Bible that there's just no other comparison. There's nothing like that. So we talked about no God like our God, nothing but the blood of Jesus, and nothing like God's family, no book like the Bible, things like that. And this one is, there's no better place to spend eternity. I know that there are many people in the world who think that when you die, it's just over. That's it. There's just nothing left. I kind of feel for them. It's their choice. You don't have to believe that. But you got to kind of feel for somebody who thinks, man, we came from nothing and we're going nowhere. That's kind of a dismal outlook on life. And what's the point of the in-between? I mean, that's where we are. We're living in between birth and death. And if you're not going anywhere, it's kind of, well, what's the point of this? I don't know about you, but I've had some struggles in my life. I've had some disappointments. I've had some heartaches. I've had some setbacks and failures. And those things only, they only work if you have something to look forward to. I mean, if all I've got to look forward to is more of that, it's no wonder people turn to alcohol and drugs and suicides and all that kind of stuff, because they have no hope. But there is a hope that we can get a hold of, and there is something, and there is future, and life just makes more sense if you think about the fact that I was made by a God, and therefore the God. I was made by God for a relationship with Him that'll last forever. And so I need to figure that out and figure out how does that work and how do you get into a relationship like that and how is it sustained and where is it going to lead? But the reverse of that then makes sense too, and that is, well, if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to that gives me with God forever, then what's that alternative? Because God made all of us. From Adam and Eve on, He made us to be eternal beings. We are eternal beings. When we talk about, even in my title, no better place to spend eternity. I'm going to spend eternity somewhere because my spirit's not going to die. So it's a question of, so where do we spend it? Well, that's why I started with one of the early messages was there's no book like the Bible. It's the inspired word of that very God who made us. And this word says you spend eternity either with God or without God. And it depends on what you do with Jesus in this life. The decisions we make now as to whether to believe that and follow God will determine forever where and how we spend eternity. Now, on the Christian side of that, we talk about I got saved when I was 6 years old. I trusted Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. He saved me and gave me, as the Bible says, eternal life. That's not really about time. We talk about it that way, but that's not really what it's talking about. It's talking about the quality of life forever, because everybody's going to last forever. It's a question of where and how. Eternal life, when the Bible talks about it, it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not saying I would die and be gone forever. My body will, but I will be spiritually dead forever if I don't trust Jesus. On the other hand, if I do, I'm gifted with spiritually alive forever. So it's like dying forever in hell or living forever with God. But you will exist forever somewhere. So those who think, well, we're just going to die and go to the grave and then it's all over, there's nothing left, they're just wrong. The Bible says we're going to spend eternity one place or the other, in torment separated from God because He's everything that's good and there's nothing good there, or with God forever. And you have to make the right choices in order for that to happen. And the choice, of course, is Jesus. And I just want to kind of have us take a little bit of time this morning to recall that and think about it and see not only what a place heaven is like and how great that's going to be, but in light of that, what should my life be like now? How does it make a difference? If it only makes a difference to you that you're going to be able to go to heaven and be there forever, I would challenge that you're going to heaven. You say, well, you're not the judge. You don't get to decide it. No, I won't decide which way you're going. All I know is that if life is all about you and what you get to do and whether or not you're going to get to go to heaven someday and be able to have great stuff, then that doesn't sound like an attitude that gets you to that, because it's not about I just get what I want. I get to choose and then go, so I'm going to choose heaven and I'll get to go someday. That's not Bible. That's not how you get there. So the idea that I can just make some little action, just do a little something, and then I get to go to heaven forever and enjoy stuff that I didn't get to enjoy on earth, that's not a biblical concept. So it's kind of telling me you never got saved, because getting saved is about realizing you're a sinner and confessing that to Jesus Christ and accepting Him as Lord and Savior, not just a ticket to heaven. People who think they've just got them a ticket to heaven or an escape, get out of jail free card, get out of hell free card, that attitude does not suggest that you've given your life to Christ. But for those of us who have, what a place and what an eternity. And there's no place like that. Even forgetting about hell, I don't want to spend eternity here either. This life's got enough troubles. This earth's not much count anymore. We've messed it up for thousands of years, and I don't want to spend eternity here either. There's no place better to spend eternity than heaven. So today, make sure you know what that means to get there, and then what a difference it makes, because I'm a citizen of that kingdom. So we've got several verses to read that will help us to understand a little bit. We have no clue what heaven's really going to be like. And the Apostle Paul even wrote, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the imagination what great things God's got in store for us. I know one of the most popular Christian songs in the last several years has been, I Can Only Imagine. Well, the idea there is I don't have any choice but to imagine, because I don't have a lot of facts. But the truth of the matter really is my imagination won't even get there. The best I can do is imagine, and it's going to fall short, is what we're saying, because there's just no better place. So let's look first in Revelation 21 and get a little bit of glimpse of what this heaven is like. Then we got some other verses that kind of help us put that then into perspective. So Revelation 21, 1 through 5, the Apostle John has been given a vision of future things to come, and he wrote it down for us so that we might know some things. And so he says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne, look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away. Then the one seated on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. So just a glimpse of heaven, and we'll talk about that a little bit in more detail, but just a glimpse of some of the glorious things of being with God forever for those who have trusted him. Now, Jesus, in one of his early sermons when he was on earth, told us about the value of heaven and the security there and how that should stir up our hearts. In Matthew 6, 19 to 21, he said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, telling us that we should be thinking and doing things that are more heavenly, more eternal in mind. He didn't say don't have a house and a nice car and some decent clothes and stuff like that. He said, don't let that be your treasure. Don't let that be your focus, the earthly things, because that's all going to pass away. And so the things that we live and breathe and do for him, those things will transfer on. Hebrews gives us a look back at the Old Testament. Abraham in chapter 11, verses 9 and 10 said that by faith Abraham stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. And here's why. For he, Abraham, was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Somehow, even thousands of years ago, Abraham lived in tents and was sort of a nomadic people as he began to grow his family, because he knew this was not where he's spending eternity. But this is where God called him to in the meantime. But he was looking farther and into the future somehow, trying to say, listen, there's more to it than this, and God's got that for me, and I'm willing to put up with this to get to that and do as he says. And then Paul writes in Philippians 3:20, for those of us that are Christians, he said, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot to cover, and I found lots more verses, and the more as I thought about this over the weeks and prepared it, the more verses that popped into mind that just speak to both sides of this, that because of what Jesus Christ has done, I know that I'm going to go to heaven and get to enjoy eternity. That's forever and ever in the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus, and with all those who've gone before, and eventually we'll get there that are saved. And that's a great thing. But in the meantime, I'm here. So what does that, if this is heaven over here, what does that mean today? Because I'm not there yet. But does it make a difference? Should it make a difference? What kind of difference? So we're kind of trying to balance the two things. And so my first point is actually to be looking forward. And technically, I'm actually saying forward-looking, but that doesn't fit the rest of the outline. So we're going with, because you and I use the term looking forward to say, you know, I'm looking forward to that. I think anybody in his right mind would look forward to heaven if they have any concept. I mean, I've had people tell me that wouldn't be trusting Jesus. They weren't going to go ahead and commit to Jesus. But I had one guy tell me one time, he says, so you're telling me that right now you've got the Spirit of God in you that helps you to decide things and think things, and you see through his vision kind of. He helps you live. And then when you die, you're going to go to heaven where everything's perfect. And I said, yes, that's exactly right. And he goes, man, that is a whale of a deal. I wish I could believe that. And walked away lost. He just couldn't believe it. But he recognized that that's a good thing. And so if you're looking forward to that, so we do it that way. We're going on a family vacation in a couple weeks, and so the 23rd, you'll have somebody else up here sharing your message. And I'm already looking forward to the vacation. I'm looking forward to being with family. We're going to Orange Beach. This is all the Lord willing. He makes the plans. But I'm looking forward to that. But to be forward-looking is to say we can't do that if we don't have a place to stay. And so maybe we got to get a reservation there. And then you make some plans, and we stay in a condo and do some of our own cooking. It's cheaper than, you know, eating out every time. And so there'll have to be some grocery planning done and some meal planning. And that's what me and Granny go along for. We do the cooking and the cleaning, and it doesn't cost us as much to go on vacation because the kids have to chip in that part. And so it's kind of evolved. In the early years, we didn't have as, you know, things as much, and so they paid and we worked, and so now it's kind of evened out and we all kind of chip in. But it's family time, and we're a game playing family, and we play games all night long and then sleep in, and you're on the beach, and so you got a beach and you got a swimming pool. But if you don't make plans and don't work toward it, it'll be better that week that I'm there if I already have August 30th's message ready, so that I don't have to spend too much time on it while I'm trying to have family time in Alabama. So if I'm forward-looking, I won't wait till Friday night of vacation after I've been playing all week long and think, oh, wait a minute, we got to drive all the way home. That's a 12-hour drive, and then I got to get up and preach Sunday morning. What am I going to preach? Several years ago, I think it was COVID year, yes, that I was going to be gone for the month of Saturday. You gave Pastor Chris a sabbatical a year or two ago, and I took one. I've taken a couple of those, and I was going to be gone in August. It was COVID year, and we had started recording our messages and put them on YouTube. We couldn't go live, plus by July we were back in the building. But I wanted the YouTube messages to continue for the 5 weeks of August that I was going to be gone. I was looking forward to going and being gone and having time alone with God and just doing my thing there, but I wanted the ministry of the messages to continue. So to be forward looking, I had to record five more messages in July while I was already recording four, because we would record it on Wednesday or Thursday, then I would preach it live on Sunday. And then that way people could watch it at home, and people who didn't go to church would have it. And I wanted that to continue. So the difference between looking forward to being gone and all the things that I might get to do, or just relaxing and being away from the ministry for a while to have to do this and that, to look forward, really I had to look forward and plan ahead and make five more messages and get those recorded. And we recorded like six messages in 2 weeks. Besides the two that I did on Sundays. So I was totally confused for about 3 weeks as to what day it was, what month it was, or anything. I didn't even know how to walk just about, because I was making plans and arrangements. And so when I'm talking about looking forward, I'm talking about, first of all, with my mind, with your mind, because it's not about, okay, I'm just going to sit around and think about heaven and I'm looking forward to going. What I want us to see is God has a purpose for my life. And because I'm going to heaven, I should be thinking about what a difference that makes. It isn't just about, you know, some people just live to survive, and they go to work so they can get enough money to buy food, so they can get strength to go to work, to get enough money so they can buy food, to get enough strength to go to work. And life is just a drone. I mean, it's just a drudgery, and it's like, no, there's more to it than that. I have a purpose in life. But if you don't think about heaven, as I mentioned, the atheists or the others who think that they're just going to die, or there's nothing in the future, they don't have anything to live for now either. Their argument is, well, we want to make it better for the next generation, for our kids and grandkids. Better for what? If you're just going to go in the grave and it's over, what difference does it make? What's better is that I raise my kids to trust the God who made them and trust His plan of salvation, so that they will have eternity of blessings, not a hole in the ground to rot away in with no awareness of that. But it makes a difference then. I've talked with parents over the years who are like, I did the best I could do trying to raise my kids. I got them a good roof over their head and transportation and good clothing, and we fed them, we did this and did this. But they ignored God and ignored church and ignored the real principles of life. They didn't do the best they could do. The best thing you can do for your kids is bring them to Jesus, because that's got eternity in mind. If you're forward looking, my children and my grandchildren, I want them in heaven with me. Not to be with me, I want them in heaven, period. To be forward looking is, I need to be in church and raise those kids in the Word of God and bring them up, as the Bible says, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. To skip all that is to waste it all. So in our minds, we have to think in terms of, this life isn't about me either. I saw a cartoon the other day, a young man standing talking to the pastor in the church, and he asked the pastor, he said, did you get all those suggestions that I made about some of the things that we ought to be doing in worship and some changes we ought to be making? And the pastor said, yeah, and those would all be fine if we were here to worship you. But since we're not, since it's not about you, how about we collectively decide what will bring us to God each Sunday? You know, how about we figure out how to get in the mode of thinking about God? We just, Trevor just read for, set your mind on things above. Get your hearts and your affections and your mind looking there, because you belong to Him now. And so when I'm saying looking forward, it's not that, oh man, I'm excited about heaven. Yeah, I am. But what difference does that make in my life? Well, because everything should be seen in light of the fact that I'm a citizen, as we just read in Philippians, I'm a citizen of that kingdom. I'll be honest, I struggle a little bit. I'm patriotic. I love this country, and it's the best in the world still. With all of its problems, I still think it's the best in the world. But it's not the best place, and it's not the best place to spend eternity. Heaven is. Wherever Jesus is. And I struggle a little bit with that allegiance idea. Stephen Decatur, my parents both went to Stephen Decatur High School. That was named after a naval hero in America's history. And one of his famous sayings was, America, may she always be right, but America, right or wrong. That's terrible. That is an ungodly, unchristian attitude. America, right or wrong? Oh, that's like saying, I don't care if we're wrong, but well, let's support it. That's nonsense. And everybody's quoted that throughout history, at least if you grew up in the Decatur area and you learned that Stephen Decatur is where we got the name for Decatur, and it was Stephen Decatur High School. And he said, you know, because that's very patriotic sounding. That's very ungodly sounding too. And my first allegiance is to Jesus Christ. My second allegiance isn't America. It would be my wife. Two become one, you know, and then my family. And then I would probably even say my church after that, because I'm trying to say I'm still staying focused with the Lord first. America, may she always be right. Let's just stop it there. In one of the songs we sing patriotically, it calls us the land of the noble and the free. And there's one verse that talks about, may all of our gains be divine in the song America. That's such a deep truth. If America would set their eyes looking forward to godly things, God could bless America and we could not just be a great nation, we could be the greatest ever and stay that way. But we don't look forward to that. We're not forward looking. We're not thinking about eternity. How it would change some of the decisions we make today and this week if we kept eternity in mind. If we kept in mind the fact that I'm going to stand before God someday. I mean, you sometimes change what you're going to say or do based on who's around you. And that's not a bad thing. You know, I've heard people, you know, in the church building. Oh, I can't say it here. We got to come outside with me so I can say it out there, you know. Or, I mean, that's what the word profane means. It means before the temple. Don't say something before the temple, before God, that's wrong. And there are things you don't say. I grew up in a generation that my dad was a contractor, and I worked around men who were building houses, so construction workers. And some of those houses were already paid for. Somebody hired him to build their home. So occasionally the couple, you know, that it was being built for would show up on site. The lady wants to come and see what her kitchen's being framed in. I mean, it's just framework right now. But when the lady was there, the men didn't talk the same way back in those days. Now the ladies talk that way. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about cuss words. I'm talking about filthy language. Now it's coming from the women. My dad umpired softball. Even back then, he said the women were a lot tougher than the men when he umpired softball. Their language was worse than the men's language back in those days. But out in public, and so I remember hearing the carpenter let a cuss word slip, and they would say, pardon my French. I don't know why it's French all the time, but it's always, but that's the saying, pardon my French, because he let a cuss word slip. And I've seen that disappear over the years. But what I'm saying is, based on somebody else being there, either a lady or your parents when you were kids or you're at church, based on that, we change our attitudes a little bit. We watch our language a little bit. That's not a bad thing, but what I'm saying is, what if our mind was so focused on our citizenship is in heaven? We belong to Jesus. And we're going to heaven one of these days to spend that with him forever. Wouldn't that affect how I behave today? Sure it would. It's supposed to. And often it does, but I think that maybe often it doesn't. And we're more concerned about what man thinks than what God thinks. where he's, if we're really looking forward to this place, we would have God's purposes in mind, which would also lead to the methods then, and we just kind of mentioned that. I would begin to do things differently if my mind is focused on, I'm not living here forever. I don't have to please the world because I'm not spending eternity with the world. I need to please God. It begins to change my actions. How do I do that? Is there a plan of action? Do you have a plan of action? Do you have, here's the way I'm going to live. Here's what I'm going to do. Especially when you consider that part of it, and we'll get to this in a minute, is it isn't just get saved so that I'll go to heaven someday. It's get saved so that he can change my life to help me be more like Jesus. And Jesus was a man of action and went about doing good and ministered to people until the end. In fact, he did it from the beginning. If you read in Philippians chapter 2, where Paul tells us we should have the mind, that was my first sub-point there. If you have the mind of Christ, he said you should have the same attitude and mind of Christ. He didn't quit there. He didn't say you should just think like Jesus. Because see, if you think like Jesus, what's the next thing it says about Jesus, who even though he was God, didn't say that he had to stay in heaven and be God. He came down to earth, took on the form of a man, which was very humbling for Jesus. He's God of the universe. He comes down here to be one of us, but not just a man. He took on the role of a servant, and not just a servant, he became a human sacrifice and suffered on behalf of the rest of us. And that's the mindset I'm supposed to have? Yes. That's the mindset I'm supposed to have. And if I, Jesus did that, it goes on to say, because he looked forward to the cross. And even though he didn't want to go to the cross, he was forward looking enough to say, but if I don't, then these people won't be in heaven someday. They can't get there without my righteousness, and the only way I can do that is to die and pay for their sins. So in order for me to go to heaven, for order for you to go to heaven, Jesus had to lay it all aside with his mind saying, I've got to go to earth, I've got to suffer and die so that some people can be saved, and I'll do it. And he put it into action. And I'm supposed to be like that. In light of the fact that I'm going to heaven, I should live differently now. Not just hold on to my ticket. I got a ticket to heaven, and so that's all I care about spiritually. I'm going to do the other stuff. I got to have a job. I got to make a living. I got to take care of my kids. I got to do this. Got to do that. But spiritually, I got my ticket. If that's all you got, you got nothing. If you have a relationship with the God who owns heaven, that's a different story. If I'm a part of his family, it'll change my methods as well. And then we get a glimpse in Revelation of the lasting fruit of that. Because I want to remind us, it's a good place. It's the best place to spend eternity. It's the only place we want to spend eternity. And you're guaranteed that if you've really trusted Jesus. But let's just look at it for just a moment. Back in the chapter there of Revelation where it talks about, he said, look, I'm making everything new. Because this world's messed up. We messed it up with our sin, and for several thousand years of sin piling on sin and corruption piling on corruption, we've just messed it up completely. And so God's not just going to get rid of the lost people and have us put up with a lost, broken creation either. He's going to get rid of that and start all over and create us a whole new place. Technically, when we talk about heaven and eternity, according to the last of Revelation, it's a new earth. We'll be on a new earth, and the holy city, the new capital of the earth that he brings down. But it's what we call heaven. It's spending eternity with the Father and the Son and the people who've been believers all along. But it really takes place on a new earth. And hell is brought up with the people in it and cast into the lake of fire. So technically, the two eternal destinations are the lake of fire or the new earth. But that's heaven and hell for us, so we just use those terms that we're going to go to heaven, and it'll be heaven because it's with the Lord. But look at it, you got new things. It's all I'm puzzled by people, Christians, when you talk about heaven and what it's going to be like, and when we try to imagine a little bit, And I've noticed over the years that what it really turns out to be for people is, I want more of what I've got in life now, only without the sin stuff. You know? I mean, if you love baseball, for some reason heaven is watching the Cubs play or something. I've got a friend whose father and her brother have both already passed away, and they were big Cubs fans. And you could turn this into Cardinals or whatever, they just happen to be Cubs fans. But I saw her post one time on Facebook that her dad and her brother were probably sitting up there with a beer watching the Cubs play this afternoon. That's your concept of heaven? More of what you had on earth, just the freedom to get to go do that? That's pure selfishness. I don't know exactly what we're going to do in heaven because God didn't tell us. But a fisherman is probably going to tell you that, man, in heaven I'm going to get to fish all day long. My wife's not going to be griping or nothing. I'm just going to get a fish, fish, fish. No, you're not. I'm not saying there wouldn't be fishing in heaven. I don't know. But if you think that heaven is all about giving you what you want, that's totally unbiblical. He didn't save me to let me have more of me. He saved me to change me, to help me be more like Jesus and to worship the Father and to be eventually away from all the barriers and hindrances to that. We were talking one time about the tree of life in heaven, where you pick from the fruit of the tree of life and you eat that. I'm not a vegetable man. I do like fruit, but I'm more of a meat and taters kind of guy. And so, you know, people are saying, how are you going to handle heaven? You know, we're not going to be killing animals and eating steaks and stuff. We're going to pick that thing off of a tree and eat it. And I said, how do you know mine's not going to taste like a ribeye? Huh? Sure, I'm going to pull it off a tree, but I bite into that whatever it is. And, man, that's a medium well ribeye. There's some baked potato right there with lots of butter on it. I mean, if you're going to reduce heaven to whatever it is that you want more of, then it's certainly not biblical, but don't count me out on getting steaks then just because you've envisioned heaven as... I don't fish, never have fished. I don't even care to eat fish, so why would I go fishing? Well, if heaven, I've heard people say, well, yeah, but heaven's going to be everything I want, and then for you it's going to be what you want. Does that really make sense? Let's just say there's a billion people in heaven. So there's a billion people forever doing their own thing, ignoring everybody else, because I'm not going fishing with him. Unless heaven for him would be for me to go fishing, but that wouldn't be heaven for me. See what I'm saying? You can't make it about selfish desires and figure that that's going to work out for everybody. I'm confused about the people who say their pets are going to heaven and they're going to enjoy their pet. They don't even stop and think about if they lived to 90, they may have had 6 or 7 pets. Now you're going to have all 6 or 7 of them, and how's one of them going to be your favorite? And how are you going to do that? I don't have all the answers. What I'm saying is, heaven is not about me being me from earth and just getting rid of the distractions and problems. It's everything new. That includes what I call the no mores. We read them there in Revelation, and I like these. But it's not the best things about heaven. It's just some good stuff about it. No more death. No more grief. No more crying. No more pain. The older I get, the more I like that one. No more pain. I won't have to get up slowly in heaven and say, oh man, does that hurt? You know, what did I do to get that? I don't know. I sat down, I suppose. I don't know. But that's just not the way it's going to be. But look at those no mores. That's just, those things, I call them lasting fruit because that's going to be forever. It's not going to be like I get a week or two of that or while I'm young in heaven. Like the first million years, there's no more of that. But, you know, I'm going to get older. And then it's going to start hurting again. No, this is forever. No more of that. No more of this junk. You got glasses on. I got contacts. We won't need either one in heaven. We won't need the hospitals and the wheelchairs and the canes and the crutches and the bandages and all that stuff. That's going to be great. But that's still not the best part of heaven, but that's a part of it. The lasting fruit, the blessings that God gives is going to be a big part of that. And sure, we look forward to that, but does that make any real difference now? It's supposed to. And that's my last point is, I should be living faithfully. In light of the fact that I'm going to have no more problems when I get there forever, in light of the fact that whatever it's going to be like, it's going to be the the best thing ever, so good that we can't even imagine it. Our minds are so earthly bound that we can't even imagine what it's going to be like, but we know it's going to be great. And in light of that, what's the difference today? I'm supposed to be living faithfully. First of all, we kind of mentioned this, so I don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but I need to be heavenly minded. Since you've been risen with Christ, we said in Colossians, it was read for us, then set your affection on things above. Set your mind up there. Think better than that. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul gave us a passage, I'm sure you're familiar with it, where he said, if there's anything positive, anything righteous, anything virtuous, he said, think about these things. And then he listed them. Things about things that are noble, things that are pure, things that are holy, things that are of good report. In other words, not the gossipy stuff, not the junk stuff. The news media fills our minds with nothing from that list. Nothing. It's all junk. It's all bad stuff. And a lot of it, if they don't even have something bad to report, they'll just make it up nowadays and give it to you because they want you to have more negative stuff. Keep us negative. Keep us focused on anything but what's holy and righteous and pure. But we do a pretty good job of it on our own. We fill our minds with all kinds of stuff and all kinds of problems and all kinds of worries. Worry, we've all done it some, but it generally is because we can't change that. So what are we worried about it for? Because that's sure not going to change it. But we do. We get our minds full of all kinds of junk, but we should be heavenly minded. I'm not saying sit around and just sing about heaven and talk about heaven and never worry about life. No. I'm saying do life with heaven in mind. Knowing that I'm a citizen of the kingdom means I should behave now like a citizen of that kingdom. My behavior should be guided by the principles of living in that country. I'm just not there yet. With your help as a church and the other church of our association, we had mission trips to Peru, and I was a leader of some of those, and so I took 5 trips to Peru over the years, up into the mountains, and each time I looked forward to that, and we had things to do, and we were training people to do evangelism in the mountains of Peru, but it was a week trip, a week long. And so I liked it, I enjoyed it, I wanted to do it, I spent my time, it was very rewarding, and I think we did some good with that. But it would be silly for me to think that that's all there was. It was a week during that summer that I was there, but I wasn't a citizen of Peru. I didn't, you know, you obey the laws, but I wasn't working for Peru or living for Peru. My home was here. And so I wasn't going to spend all of my income for a week in Peru. I wasn't going to spend all of my energy for the year or all of my life for a week in Peru. I was going to give it my best shot in leading up to that and doing that week. Life on earth is a week in Peru, you know? What are you going to do? Live for 100 years? You're getting close. You're working on it. But, you know, you're not going to make it to 120. I got news for you. Nobody does anymore. Abraham made it, but others don't. We don't live that long anymore. And even if you do, my dad just told me over and over and over as he got all the way up to 98, he says, I'd complain about my back or troubles. And he said, I'm going to tell you this, Terry. I'm looking for great wisdom here coming now from this man. And he goes, it doesn't get any better. I'm thinking, okay, well, that encouraged me right there. That's a great thing. He said, I'm just being honest. It doesn't get any better. And 100 years and we're done. Why do we spend all of our time, all of our money, all of our energy, all of everything for a week in Peru? We wouldn't do that. We don't do it now, but we spend all of our time, energy, money for that 100 years. And most of us won't even get that long. But with eternity in mind, then I live for eternity. And so now you're talking about worship and church and ministry and missions and good Christian fellowship and things that go beyond this life. I should be heavenly minded, and then I should also be helping the kingdom. It's still just not all about me. It's still not about just do what you want. He didn't call us to salvation. He didn't give us His Holy Spirit. He didn't bless us with the Bible to guide us in how to live, for us to ignore all that, nor to waste it on ourselves. Even if you want to go far into the New Testament and talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit came into your life and brought with Him some special gifts that all of us can do. You have some that I don't, and I have some that you don't, but together the church can do it all, so to speak, through God's help. But the Bible's very clear that He gifted us with those things for the building of the kingdom, for the benefit of the church. He didn't give you a special gift for you to waste it on yourself, because it's not about me. It's not about you. He gave me special abilities and gifts, and then really just built me all through life and is still working on me for His purposes. So the idea is here, you've got heaven in your future if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you don't, you better make that decision. It's about trusting Him, not doing good works and doing stuff. The good works come because I'm on my way to heaven. I don't do good things and do ministry or even worship in order to try to get to heaven. I'm doing it because I'm already on my way to heaven. It's in my future. And because of that, how should I live now? That's the deal. Because Jesus saved you, how should you live? Because you're going to heaven someday, how should you live? Should we, pardon the way of saying it, but should we live like hell because we're going to heaven? Should we live like, they used to call him a hellion. That guy's a hellion. That means he's living like that. Should we live like the devil because we're going to heaven? No. We should be trying to live like Jesus. That's the whole plan. God didn't do all this to get me to heaven. He didn't do all this to get you to heaven. He did all this to help us become like Him. Not to be gods, but to be like Him in morality and character and the way we feel and the way we see things. The goal is to have me be like Jesus. And then eventually I'll get to spend eternity with Him. So am I living more and more like Jesus? Am I letting Him do His work? Am I thinking about heaven in the sense that that's where I belong? I was glad when I went to Peru to get to come home because this is where I belong. But I was glad to have that ministry and do that work. I'm glad to have my 100 years here. But this is the mission field. This is the practice field for the real game that's coming up forever. This is the mission field that'll help others get to the real life. That's where we're going to spend eternity if we know Jesus. So that's the question. I'm going. Are you? Do you know Jesus? And what difference does that make? You say, well, I'm going to heaven someday. But we're not there yet. What difference does it make this week? What difference does it make this year, next month, 5 years from now? It ought to be making a difference that we're going to spend eternity with Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank and praise You. You're an awesome God, and You've done so much for us, including the preparations for heaven. But to get to heaven, I've got to know Jesus. Thank You for saving me. To get to heaven, I've got to become more and more like Jesus, just because that's the plan. I don't have to do works to get there, but Jesus worked. Help me be like Jesus. Jesus did ministry. Help us be like Jesus. Jesus prayed and worshiped to the Father. Help us be like Jesus. He touched people's lives. He longed for going back to heaven, and He did, and help us to do that. Help us be like Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.